SGR Sports Network Facebook page and on the Experience Hockey Talk Facebook page. Bernie!
The Stanley Cup playoffs, the ultimate thrill ride, and needless to say, we've gotten a little emotional about it in the last week or so. Promo alert, what is and isn't a penalty in this league anymore? What is and isn't goaltender interference in this league anymore? And what is and isn't an ejectable offense anymore? And what's up, Brian Massey? Good to have you on board this morning as well.
It's okay, Brian. I still love you, buddy. Brian is referring to the fact that last night I was at the Tilt-A-Kill in Frederick, Maryland for Game 5. I invited Brian to show up, and he didn't show up.
Well, you know, things happen. It's called life, you know?
Yep. And I still love you, Brian.
And as always, like to thank the proprietor, the owner, and the dreamer of WBGR Radio himself, Lionel Green, for having us on the air yet again. Show number 8. We've been doing this for 2 months now. Go figure.
Yeah, it's a good run so far.
Absolutely, and we're definitely looking forward to expanding the Experience Hockey Talk on Facebook. Please like the page, because when we get it over 100, we are going to start unleashing some exclusive stuff on the site. So tell your friends, your neighbors, and everything else. We had a nice spike last night because I finally started inviting some of the people that I know would love this conversation.
Yes.
So Caps Maple Leafs.
Well, let's start off right off at the beginning. Let's go to these notes, because this notes will be the fast track notes.
Right.
So when we left off, the Caps were up 1-0 after a 3-2 victory.
So long ago.
Saturday night, Toronto tied the series in double overtime. Then Game 3, Toronto took a 2-1 series lead with a 4-3 overtime victory. Then on Game 4, the Caps tied the series with a 5-4 victory, which is the only game to not go into overtime. And then last night, the Capitals won 2-1 in overtime.
Can you tell there's a theme? One-goal hockey games. Now,
that's playoff hockey.
The Game 4 really shouldn't have been a one-goal hockey game. A lot of defensive breakdowns late in the game by the Capitals after getting off to a 4-1 lead. And the thing I loved about the two games in Toronto, jumping around pretty much summarizing what happened in the four games in 7 nights, was the two fast starts they had in Toronto, getting on board and getting that crowd silenced, because the Canadian crowds, and you saw it in the Edmonton series in Game 5 especially, when they get behind their teams, you're battling not just the 6 players on the ice. There's 20,000 Canadian fans in the stands, as well as a country that wants a Stanley Cup because they haven't had one in almost 25 years.
Yeah. And one interesting thing you mentioned, you know, in Games 3 and 4, the Capitals got off to a quick start. Both games, they scored 2 goals in the first 5 minutes of the game.
And Ovi scored the second one.
But the big thing is that, yes, the Capitals were able to get the crowd out. And as you're mentioning, you know, Canadians are extremely passionate about their hockey. Now, the big thing that got the fans back into the game and that sparked the Maple Leafs was the fact that they threw big hits. You know, they're down 2-0. They throw a big hit. It gets the crowd back into it. It gives them that energy to feed off of. And, you know, that's something that the Caps have to look into tomorrow. You know, get that quick start, but don't let Toronto get that ability to gain energy.
Well, I think they did better in Game 4 on that, because they went from 2-1 to 4-1 and pretty much alleviated. I think last night was the best defensive effort that you've seen from the Capitals in 5 games, because they have gotten back to simple gap control, making sure that the Maple Leafs are not getting their wheels going. I mean, they are able to clutter a lot of stuff up when they are trying to do their chip and chase. And thank you, Jay Beagle, for winning the draw. Thank you, Matt Niskanen, for chipping the puck in. Thank you, Marcus Johansson, for chasing it after. And thank you, Kuznetsov, for getting that puck right into Justin Williams' wheelhouse, so we can have a very happy show this morning instead of wondering what in the heck
is going on
and when did the Caps forget that simple hockey wins games.
Now, one thing that is of concern that I do want to bring up,
yep,
is one, two things of concern. One, the penalties. That is a big concern right now for the Caps. They're taking way too many penalties still. And then also, in games 3 and 4, specifically, Toronto was just annihilating the Capitals on the shot board. In game 4 alone, Toronto outshot the Capitals 18-3 in the third period. That's not good. And interestingly enough, in that third period, at the 12-minute mark, Austin Matthews scored. Oshie then scored 59 seconds later. Then at 19:33, Tyler Bozak scored. Now, Caps had 3 shots. They scored a goal. That's good. You know, you get your 1 for 3. But say the Toronto Maple Leafs had a few more shots and Oshie didn't score that goal, and that goal is a Toronto goal, we'd be talking a completely different series, too, at the same time. And that's something that is a concern. You don't want to go into Toronto in Game 6 tomorrow. You know, you want to play like you did last night. You don't want to play like the way you did in Toronto the first 2 times. And that's the concern.
Exactly. You do not want to sit back. In the third period, you got to be aggressive. And that's the two dichotomies of the way Toronto's played and where the Caps have played. With the Toronto, it's chip and chase, get it down below the goal line, and set your play up where you have one guy already in front of the net, one guy making the play behind the net, the second guy being support, and then getting it out to the point and getting the shots through. And they've been getting the shots through or bouncing off or something. I think all but 2 or 3 of the goals have bounced off of something or a player or a helmet, a nose, a head, something, and landed in the back of the net by Braden Holtby. Braden Holtby, for all the few people that were like, oh, maybe we should play Grubauer, Braden Holtby has not been the problem, boys and girls. Braden Holtby played fantastic on the 5-on-3 in game 4. Braden Holtby stood tall on that 5-on-3 kill. And last night, huge saves in the third period to keep that 1-1.
Well, there's also, you know, going back, you know, bringing that up, it's like, look at The double overtime goal, Holtby had no chance. He didn't, because Brian Boyle threw a Kuznetsov, threw it behind the net, and went right to Kasperi Kapanen and scored the goal. There's nothing that he could have done about it.
Defensive breakdowns.
Yeah. And it also didn't help that John Carlson didn't have a stick. But also at the same time, in the very next game, in the overtime when Tyler Bozak scored, that was a deflection. How do you fault Braden Holtby? It's like that thing that I mentioned last week. You know, about, you know, when fans chant, who cares, and all your fault, you know, towards the other goalie. You know, it's that same mentality. You know, look at the goals that are being scored. When Holtby is having to scramble around because the defensemen are not clearing out the guys, how's that Braden Holtby's fault? It's not his fault. Same goes for, like, goals that Frederik Andersen would give up. Although he did give up a couple weak ones in game 4, though.
Right.
So, you know, so you can't throw the, yeah, it's your fault on that one.
But also we're looking at, when you talk about concerns, I'll give you another concern, and that's a guy that played 599 consecutive games until game 3 of this playoff series, and that's Carl Alsner. What's his status for game 6? And if he's ready, who's coming out of the lineup? I was going to say John Carlson for a couple games until the last game or two. I'm torn between Carlson and Orpik. The one guy that does not get taken out of this lineup right now is probably their most consistent defenseman right now, and that's Nate Schmidt.
And actually, it's an interesting thing. Carl Alsner did do a full skate yesterday and skated with the scratches yesterday in practice, which is a good sign. We always want to see that type of stuff. In a weird way, I think, you know, and a couple other people have kind of harped on this too, the Caps have, in a weird way, have also played better without Alsner in the lineup, because Nate Schmidt brings speed. Alsner's not known for a speedy guy. He's also not known for offense, which is both things that Nate Schmidt brings to the lineup. Now you have, like, I don't like the idea of pairing Schmidt with Carlson personally, because they're both the same type of defenseman, except for the fact that Schmidt's a little bit faster than Carlson, but they're both offensive. But at the same time, you have Orlov with Niskanen and Shattenkirk with Orpik, and I think during game 4 a little bit, I think we saw a little bit of Shattenkirk with Orpik with Schmidt for a little bit, you know, just to kind of change up the dynamic a little bit.
Well, I think that's also with the power plays and everything, the power plays and the penalty kills that were up and down and everything. But if you do bring in a Carl Alsner, I would say you'd see the Brooks Orpik, just because I think you get a little more foot speed out of Carl Alsner and you do Brooks Orpik, a little more offensive ability with Carl Alsner. Plus, putting Alsner with Shattenkirk would allow Shattenkirk to be more offensive-minded with, I mean, granted, Orpik's also a defensive defenseman too, but Alsner's been one of those guys, those steady Eddies, has always been there to cover for Carlson, cover for Niskanen. And I think with Schmidt playing with Carlson, the lower body injury at the end of the regular season, having another fast, quick guy like Nate Schmidt with him makes some of his little mishaps not as noticeable, just because Nate Schmidt's been, with his foot speed, is able to counter that, and especially when he played with Orlov in last year and some this year when the D pairs got jumbled up a little bit before Orlov settled in with Matt Niskanen. Nate Schmidt's been also be able to balance himself on when to go up into play, but also be able to get back on defense and be able to make plays like he did, forcing that 2-on-1 wide in the first period last night.
And then also Ron Deal just commented on the WBGR Sports Facebook page, mentioning the fact that Schmidt also almost scored, just taking it end-to-end.
Yeah, and of course he should have had a goal on the goaltender interference call in Game 4. So, I mean, brother of mine kind of has a knowledge of the game, as well as my amazing 11-year-old niece that is soaking in the full playoff experience for the first time, going to a couple games with her dad.
But let's actually, talk about, you brought up goalie interference. Let's talk about some consistency, or should we say lack of consistency, not just in the Cap series, but in the playoffs as a whole when it comes to goalie interference. Because let's be honest, Game 4, Nicholas Backstrom, he's in the crease, yes. Is he trying to get out of the crease? Yes, he is. But he's being pushed in by Jake Gardner, and you have Frederik Andersen holding his leg. Yeah, don't ignore that notification. That's nothing. As we're looking at the screen in front of us.
I'm very Facebook knowledgeable at it.
Frederik Andersen's holding on the Nicholas Backstrom's leg. It's, that's not goalie interference. How is that goalie interference? And then, before the show started, you and I were having a little disagreement on the goalie interference in last night's game between Ottawa and Boston in overtime, where the Boston forward, he's coming down on the breakaway, he shoots the puck, Andersen makes the save. But in my view of things, as a former goalie myself, he didn't make, in my eyes, an attempt to try to turn away from Andersen. He kind of still stayed the course a bit, which is why I agree with the goalie interference call on that one last night, whereas you saw it differently.
Well, also, the thing that we have to realize is if the referees make a call on the ice, if it's no goal, you have to have conclusive evidence to overturn that goal. Three straight nights, you had the Andersen hugging Backstrom back into the crease, Chris Lee yelling at him to get out of the crease, and Nicholas Backstrom tried every way possible to get out of the crease. And the goalie initiated contact, and then the goaltender practically kept him in the crease, albeit in purposely, but at the same time. Then the next night in Columbus-Pittsburgh game, when Alexander Wennberg, it goes into Marc-Andre Fleury because Scott Wilson practically pushed him into Fleury, and they called a penalty on Wennberg. The goal should not have counted because Fleury didn't have a chance to play his position, but these goalies are coming out of the crease to cut down angles. Some of these plays, Wilson, E.J. Hradek on NHL Network took the same stance. If there was a penalty to be called on that play, it should have been on Scott Wilson for interfering with Wennberg, forcing him into Marc-Andre Fleury. And then last night, the Craig Andersen play in overtime. But the call was a no goal, and you had to overturn it. That was the one that, we've disagreed on it. There's a lot of gray area there on whether the Boston player crashed into Craig Andersen, whether or not it dealt with that, or the defenseman and everything like that. But that's a lot we can cover, especially with the third man on our team again today.
But Bernie, real quick though, we'll get more to it in a little bit. We got to go to break real quick because we do have George on.
We got the third man of our team. Yeah. I was getting to that. George from Nova Caps is back. I'm looking forward to a lot of wonderful, spirited conversation with George of Nova Caps.
All right, and we'll be right back from this quick break.
Do you love going to the conventions? Then listen to The Experience. Join host Michael Lindenbaum as he travels to conventions and talks to artists, writers, and celebrity guests, plus so much more. For more information, please visit facebook.com/x75productions. Attention film lovers, X75 Productions presents to you its debut film, Cosplay Life. Cosplay Life is about Wes and Julie who meet at a speed dating event, then start dating. After Julie reveals to Wes that she is a cosplayer, they both go through the twists and turns that come at them from both friends and family. For more information and to watch Cosplay Life, visit facebook.com/cosplaylifefilm.
Crimson Orchard and Eyeshine for the music that is played on this show. And of course, as you can tell in the background, if you're watching on Facebook Live, there is the Washington Capitals versus Toronto Maple Leafs graphic, which is created by Nova Caps. And speaking of them, we now are joined by George Fusikis. George, welcome back to the show, my friend.
Thank you guys for having me. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Now, we were talking about referees before we went to the break. And one thing that we were talking that we talked about during Game 4 was you don't like Kelly Sutherland. Bernie here loves Kelly Sutherland. Gentlemen, please talk.
I'm not really a big fan of the Kelly Sutherland. I think he's a little too gun-shy sometimes with his calls and doesn't necessarily get involved when he should. So.
Well, the one thing I like about Kelly is he's probably one of the best at communicating with the players during a game, and I think what won me over on Kelly was a couple years ago when he did the Winter Classic stuff with the Pens and the Caps, and just hearing the stuff that you don't usually hear on like broadcasts and everything with the down ice, the ice mics and everything, and just seeing how he communicates with, and a lot of referees I think do this, but the way Kelly was talking with the goalies after every whistle, talking to different players, and also screaming out during a play, telling people, hey, watch out for the holding. I mean, he warns these guys before the call is being made. I mean, it's almost like he doesn't want to make the call if he doesn't have to. And that one thing I respect about the way he calls a game is the way he makes sure that he's making the players aware of what is going to be called and what isn't going to be called. And I'll bring up last night on the Boston game where Bobby Ryan took two swings at Tuukka Rask when the puck was underneath Rask, and Chara came up and got two pushes in, and it was like Sutherland was right in there telling Bobby Ryan, hey, I allowed you two slashes at the puck when it was under the pad. I gave him two pushes. It's over. Whoever wants to do anything else, they're going to the box, even if it was in overtime. So we agree to disagree. I mean, there's a lot of referees that are on our not-so-good list. I'm glad Freddie Leclerc is not in the playoffs at all this year, but we can go into referees more in the off-season with who isn't and who is good for the game.
Now, George, one question I want to ask you is last night in Game 5, which is a great win for the Washington Capitals to have, Tom Wilson got himself into penalty trouble. As Bernie and I were talking before we went on the show, it was probably because of the hit that Kadri threw on Ovechkin. Wilson went into more protector mode than into that top, you know, 6-9 guy that we'd like to see him be. Do you see him potentially being demoted to the fourth line after being benched last night?
Not exactly. I think when Barry Trotz made the switch and put Tom Wilson on that line, it definitely gave them a little bit more, gave that line a little bit more muscle. And that line was Mike Babcock was doing a good job. He was actually carrying the Boyle and Martin line in Toronto against the Caps third line. So Barry Trotz, I guess he took note of that, and he wanted to put somebody that was a little bit bigger and a little bit more physical to match up with Martin and Boyle. So I think the move was good, and I think that Barry Trotz sent a message last night to Tom Wilson. While his penalties may or may not all have been justified, he still took 4 minor penalties last night. So Barry Trotz did hold him and, you know, sent a message to the rest of the team. He's still going to hold guys accountable for taking penalties, which the Capitals have tended to take a little too many in the series. So I feel that Tom Wilson will remain on that line for now, as long as he keeps his play up and as long as he keeps, you know, scoring and producing, which he has been in this series.
I definitely, George, and I think especially with the series going back with Toronto, Wilson being on third line gives Trotz better matchup. But going into what you were saying, with also just consistency up and down the lineup, I think Connolly and them only had a couple minutes, like 4 or 5 minutes ice time in Toronto in game 4 when everyone wanted Ovi to get more ice time. Speak about the consistency of the Caps game. It looked like Toronto's just been playing a simple game. We've been harping on simple wins these games, especially with an upstart team that really has nothing to lose. They're playing with house money. Could you speak on the Capitals could just be more consistent with their play. I mean, getting guys in front of the net themselves.
Yeah, the Toronto Maple Leafs have definitely probably had more of the bounces go their way in this game. Of course, they've kind of, like you said, you know, they played a simple game. They're just kind of, they've been throwing pucks at the net. They've been getting a lot of those strange deflections in front of Braden Holtby, and that's definitely given Holtby and the Caps defense some problems. Sometimes playing the most simple game possible is the smartest way to play, because a team can get those odd bounces and odd breaks go their way if they just play just simple hockey, just throwing pucks at the net and causing chaos in front of the net. And of course the Maple Leafs, they have a few guys that are willing to get to the dirty areas. I mean, we've all seen Zach Hyman, for example. He's been a guy that's been in Braden Holtby's grill the whole series. So they have those guys that are willing to get to the front and willing to cause havoc and willing to make Braden Holtby be in some discomfort.
Now, yesterday the Capitals called up Chandler Stephenson from the Hershey Bears. Trotz mentioned that he wanted to have 2 spare forwards. Connolly has not really been having the best playoff. Do you think that maybe Paul Carrier, Chandler Stephenson will see ice time in Game 6 instead of Brett Connolly?
It's possible. I guess you can never say never, but I think they're going to stick with Connolly for now just because he's a little bit more seasoned, a little bit more experienced. If I were Trotz, I might actually maybe take a look maybe at a little bit more skill in the lineup, especially on the third or fourth lines. You could probably put another skill guy with a little bit more speed against the Maple Leafs in the lineup. So I definitely think there's a possibility for either of those two guys in the lineup, yes.
Yeah, I definitely think the fourth line, correct me if I'm wrong, George, I think that was their best game of the series. You saw a little bit more out of Connolly and Winnick. I think Winnick has like 3 assists in 50 playoff games in his career. It's like you've been traded a couple times at the deadline to Pittsburgh and to Washington for just the playoffs, and the stat line isn't there. Granted, stats aren't all that they're traded for. Sometimes it's a more of an intangible factor. But speak to with that in let's see where I was going with this, with the Connolly and with Jay Beagle. That's the thing I was going with. Jay Beagle taking faceoffs, especially in Game 4, where he's like 4 of 7 after losing all 3 in the previous. George, what's your take on the faceoffs, and especially in the defensive end, a lot of teams have been going to right-handed shots in the near faceoff circle and left-handed shots on the far faceoff circle. If you're looking at the game from the TV perspective, I'm in the minority now, where if you're good at faceoffs, it doesn't matter which circle you're taking them from. I personally, I think Jay Beagle should be taking every draw on the defensive end. What's your take on that, especially with the way Trotz strategizes his going forward with his lines?
I would love to see Jay Beagle take more faceoffs on the top power play for the Caps too. He's that's one of Beagle's best assets. Is he's definitely probably the Caps' best faceoff man. I don't think it would hurt Barry Trotz maybe sometimes too to. If you need to win a key faceoff, like in the defensive zone, to maybe even put two centers out on the ice. Maybe take one of the wingers off and put two centers, like if you put the fourth line out there, put Nicholas Backstrom out there with the fourth line guys, with Beagle. And maybe that would put Toronto in, you know, a little bit of a disadvantage on the ice. I definitely think that there's ways that you can strategize more on the ice, especially since the Capitals, or at least early on in the series, they definitely struggled in the draws. But the Caps have definitely improved on the faceoff circle as the series has progressed.
Yeah, especially
to close it out, I would definitely probably use a couple more centers in a few more key situations for the Caps.
I think it showed through it on the game-winning goal last night with Beagle winning the draw that started a whole chain of events that led to Justin Williams' game-winning overtime goal. But, yeah, like to you're saying, I mean, with when the first line's out there, have Beagle out there with Oshie and Backstrom, and then when Beagle or Backstrom win the draw, then as it comes up ice and Ovechkin jumps on for Beagle, just little nuances like that. I think when Dale Hunter was here and he had Matt Hendricks and Jay Beagle pretty much – were on the ice practically every time the puck was in the defensive end. So leaving that perspective. But overall, George, you see game six. What's your gut feeling how game six is going to turn out?
I feel cautiously optimistic about game six. The key thing for the Capitals in game six is, first of all, they have to come out like they did in game four. They have to really, I think that's their bet. They have to come out in the first period, score goals, knock the crowd out of the game. And they can't have a lull like, for example, they did last night in the second period, and they kept on taking a few penalties. They can't have those lulls in games where they kind of tune out or kind of sit back and go into a shell. They have to just keep attacking and put the pressure on the Maple Leafs to score. And that's the best way. If the Capitals can keep the crowd out of the equation too for as much of the game as possible, the Leafs will not be able to feed off the momentum from that crowd. So the Caps have to stay disciplined and, you know, be aware of all their assignments and just go out there and just attack the Maple Leafs for three periods, and the rest and everything else should take care of itself.
Now, George, one question I want to ask is I want to now shift out of the Capitals to the rest of the playoffs. We all now know that the Pittsburgh Penguins have moved on to the second round. They defeated Columbus Blue Jackets in five games. In a perfect world, Caps win tomorrow. We go on to face the Pittsburgh Penguins in the second round for the second year in a row. What is the biggest thing that you took out of the Pittsburgh-Columbus series for the Pittsburgh Penguins that not just the Capitals, but any team should keep an eye on?
The Penguins have stars, and around those stars, they have players. Like, good example, Jake Guentzel, who has become one of Sidney Crosby's best line mates, and just young players like that, and they have a bunch of guys that are just willing to go to the net. They play a playoff style of hockey. They are, you know, they have this winning mentality and mindset. That's something that the Capitals need to take with them too, in order to, you know, beat the Penguins. I mean, as Ric Flair said, to be the man, you got to beat the man, and you have to have that winning mentality. you have to, you know, if you think you're a winner, you're going to go out and have winning results on the ice. On paper, these two teams are very evenly matched, but the playoff history, they're not so evenly matched. And in order for the Capitals to exercise their demons, they have to go in with that same mentality that the Penguins have.
All right.
They have to just go in, they have to win, they have to take care of business. They have to carry that blue-collar mentality. So that's the main thing with the Penguins. They just have to play a smart game against them. Once again, they have to stay disciplined, and the Caps should be able to take care of them.
One other question I want to ask also outside the Capitals is we had the breaking news that the Buffalo Sabres have relieved both Tim Murray and Dan Bylsma of their duties. There's talk about discontent from Jack Eichel and other players in the organization. What do you think the Buffalo Sabres need to do to, well, besides obviously get a new coach and general manager, but what do you think they need to do to fix the issues that are going on in Buffalo right now, especially seeing how Eichel's just finished up his second year, McDavid's one game away from moving on to the second round with Edmonton, Austin Matthews, it's potentially two games away or, you know, is in the playoffs right now in his first year. You know, what do they have to do to fix the problems in Buffalo?
I feel the Sabres' biggest issue in the last couple seasons has been their blue line. I feel that they have, obviously, their best defenseman is Rasmus Ristolainen, and he's very good. He plays in all situations for them, eats a lot of minutes. They also have Jake McCabe, who's also a young, talented defenseman. But past that, their defense is a little bit suspect. I feel that they could definitely make some improvements there. They've traded for some guys, and they haven't exactly all worked out. So the Sabres definitely need to fix their blue line. If you don't have a quality blue line in today's NHL, it doesn't matter how many stars up front you have, how many Eichels you have up front. You're not going to have much success if you don't have a quality blue line in today's NHL. So they have to find a blue line. They have to give Jack Eichel a blue line, and they have to surround him with other talented players.
Okay, hey, real quick, I'm going to go one non-capital question. I'm going to bring it back to the Caps, George. Real quick, I know your propensity for Vancouver Canucks. What's your sense on the coaching search out there at Vancouver? I know Todd Reirden is definitely a popular choice for a lot of these jobs coming up, and I know he was a finalist on a couple of jobs last year. And then also looping it back to the Caps, give us a score prediction, and I know you went into it a little bit on the previous question, but also just could the Alex Ovechkin injury, and I was feeling this when he came back out for the second period, he's a cyborg in my opinion right now. He's a Russian cyborg from Megatron or something right now. But could something like that, where it's an injury scare to your captain, could that be like one of those final pieces that galvanizes this team to ascend to that next level and wipe out all that Caps history of years gone by?
It will be very hard if Alex Ovechkin is injured the rest of the way. Hopefully he's not, but if he's injured the rest of the way, that's a huge blow to the Capitals. Obviously, it makes it that much more important for the rest of the team to step up if he is absent somewhere down the stretch. I don't think it will necessarily knock the Capitals out of contention, but it's definitely a huge blow to the team. In regards to Todd Reirden, I think he's been a very good coach here, and he will definitely get some looks from other NHL clubs. Vancouver will probably be one of them. Right now, I think in Vancouver, right now, their front runner likely for their job is Travis Green, who has been coaching the AHL's Utica Comets. He's been with the organization for a few years now. He knows all the Canucks prospects. So I feel that he's probably the front runner right now, but I don't think it's a guarantee that he necessarily gets the job quite yet. And my prediction for Game 6, I think the Capitals are going to be victorious. I just have this gut feeling that they're going to be ready to play, and they will do anything in their power to avoid a game seven. So I'm going to say it's going to be a 3-2 victory in overtime.
So once again, another one goal game with yet another overtime,
and my nerves will be shot.
Everyone's nerves will be shot. So, but and then actually one last question. This week, Las Vegas announced their new head coach, Gerard Gallant. What type of impact do you think, well, besides the fact that we don't know what type of team they're going to have yet, but what type of team do you think Gerard Gallant's going to try to have on that ice in Las Vegas?
I think Gallant is kind of an old school style coach. I feel that he's going to try to play an aggressive style. The players in Florida, when he was fired, the players in Florida really seemed to enjoy playing for him. So he's definitely a player's coach first. I feel that they're going to try to play a fast, up-tempo style of hockey and also play, you know, a very gritty game. So I think the Gallant hire was a good hire for Las Vegas. Keep in mind that this is probably going to be a team that is – basically going to have to go through a transition period. I don't think they're going to be great right off the bat. They're going to have to, you know, probably wait a couple years, build up some of their prospect pool, and before they even become a serious, you know, contender. So I think Gallant is going to set a good tone for the organization and how they want to play for the future.
All right. Well, with that, George, we thank you so much for coming on. Real quick, plug yourself and plug NovaCaps, please, sir.
Yes. You can follow me at my Twitter handle at CanucksFan56. With NovaCaps, you can follow our website, NovaCaps.com. We have a Facebook page at NovaCaps, Twitter at Nova_Caps, Instagram at Nova_Caps. You can follow all of us and all of our content on there, and that is our website we have.
Absolutely. Thank you once again, George. And we're definitely one of the things we definitely want to do on Experience Hockey Talk, especially on the Facebook page, is feature your What the Foos segment every week. We try to feature that on our Facebook page as our likes and our brand starts growing as well. So we appreciate all the insight, and we definitely look forward to having you on again during the playoffs, because we aren't done with it just yet.
No, we aren't. All right. And ladies and gentlemen, with that, we will be right back from a quick break.
Do you love gaming? Then join Michael Lindbaum and friends at X75 Unsanctioned on Twitch. Watch and interact with Michael and friends as they play games like NHL, WWE, Star Wars, and many other games. For more information and to watch live, visit twitch.tv/TheMichaelX75. Attention MCW Pro Wrestling fans, are you looking for the latest from MCW Pro Wrestling? Then you want to listen to The Experience, the official podcast of MCW Pro Wrestling. Join host Michael Lindbaum as he previews and reviews all of MCW Pro Wrestling's events, along with interviews with the stars of MCW Pro Wrestling. For more information, please visit facebook.com/X75Productions.
Right from the start, we can't fall apart, 'cause this is our shot to play with all of our heart. And no one else cares, alone we must dare, to give what we've got and leave nothing to spare. Leave nothing to spare. We finally know that this is our goal, to somehow end up on the radio. Oh, 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 oh. I say that. that tonight they're gonna know our name. I say, let's play like the world is in our hands today. Let's play our way.
Serious Hockey Talk for Serious Hockey fans. We want to thank once again George Fusikas from Nova Caps for coming on, for the great insight that he was giving us. Also, we want to do a shout out to Ron Deal, Bad Rucucci, Tim Simmons, Willie Belmonte. Thank you guys so much for commenting on the Facebook Live on the WBGR Sports Network Facebook page. And guys, anybody who's watching us either on the Experience Hockey Talk Facebook page or on the WBGR Sports Network page, if you have any questions that you want to ask us, open forum right here, right now, ask us the questions. And while we're waiting for some questions to come in, Bernie, you want to talk some AHL.
Quickly, on the farm, no less than 5 minutes before Justin Williams had his heroics at Verizon Center, the Thunder from Down Under, Nathan Walker, put the Hershey Bears up 1-0 in their best-of-five series with Lehigh Valley Phantoms last night. I mean, Phoenix Copley is a very underrated part of that trade deadline day the Caps had, because they gave them a number one goaltender down in Hershey. Follow Julie Biedler on the Nova Caps site. She'll go over a lot of the stuff for the Hershey Bears is concerned, and hopefully down the road, if the Bears make it further in the playoffs, might have her on the show once as well. So, I mean, Nova Caps and the Experience Hockey Talk, it's where it's at in D.C. hockey forums.
Yep. And then, you know, let's you know, while we're waiting for some questions to come
Game two tonight in Lehigh Valley, by the way.
So. Yeah, like, so definitely, guys, ask us your questions. We want to answer your questions. We're slowly working you guys into the show more and more into this.
Phone calls are coming, trust us. We're going to have more once, especially with the when it starts whittling down to 8 and 4 teams. We're going to be able to start getting into the ease in the process of getting phone calls on the air. I mean, you hear how we interview with George. We'd like to have you on.
Yep.
You know, we are a burgeoning beacon of hockey talk here in the DMV. You know, we want.
Yep, and
good stuff.
In the playoffs so far, we have had 3 eliminations. We've had the second wild card in the Western Conference, Nashville Predators, eliminating the Chicago Blackhawks in 4, becoming the first 8th seed to sweep a first seed.
That's crazy. Yeah, it's incredible. And you got to think that last year in the playoffs, we had no sweeps in the first round at all. And between two sweeps and 1 5-game series in the first round and I think it's 15 overtime games now. I think
hold on, I got it all written down. 1, 2, 3.
I think it's 15 overtime games so far. I think the record is 17 in the first round. It's crazy.
14.
So this
is why we write everything down.
14. Yeah, 12 regular overtimes and 2 multiple overtime games. I think.
Yeah, only 2 double OT games.
So, but the it's the playoffs. It's one goal hockey. It's aggressive hockey. It's a lot of speed, a lot of physicality, and a lot of angst. And we got St. Louis and Minnesota this afternoon at 3:00, and then the big one on prime time in Madison Square Garden with the Montreal Canadiens and the New York Rangers. Why do we think? All right, we have a question from Jason Patton, all the way in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, enjoying a lovely vacation. Why do we think we see Stan up at all this year? I thought he would be traded at the deadline, have an amazing year at Hershey. Stan Galiev is what Jason Patton is talking about, and it's just a numbers game. I think Jason is the one thing I think Barry Trotz has made a point of is he's going to bring up guys to fit the position that is needed at that time. I think they are really high. I mean, I always think Chris Bork is a guy that deserves a shot in the NHL again, whether it's the Caps or somewhere. All he does is put up points. I think Stan Galiev, especially in the second half of the season, really started to take a more get a more consistent game with Troy Mann down in Hershey. And I think everything is starting to I think Galiev could definitely be in the mix for a spot next year if he's still here with the club. But hopefully we see a little bit more of some of these prospects, because especially with the salaries going up next year, we will see.
Yeah. Also, as you're mentioning, for the St. Louis-Minnesota series, St. Louis does lead that series 3-1. As you mentioned, Game 5 is today at 3 p.m. Also, the Anaheim Ducks eliminated the Calgary Flames in four games, which means that Nashville will face the winner of the St. Louis-Minnesota series, which I'm predicting St. Louis is going to win today. St. Louis has more to them than Minnesota does, and Minnesota has been very dysfunctional this playoffs, with the exception of Game 4.
I think Minnesota gets the one at home. I think St. Louis finishes it up in six in St. Louis. I think Minnesota is going to come out with a lot of pride in their game after shutting them out last game in St. Louis. I think Devin Dubnyk has another strong outing. I think they finally figured out, just like the Caps, play simple hockey. You have a big body. You traded it for the deadline named Martin Hansel. Put his rear end in front of Jake Allen and just let him shadow him, especially on the power play. I mean, look at Toronto. They finally took the Tampa Bay playbook and put Brian Boyle in front of the net on the power play. You have a big body that has a little skill to him. Put him in front of the net. If you don't have enough skill on your power play, especially when you go two-man up to play 4-on-3 with a guy shadowing the goaltender, then you don't deserve to win hockey games.
Yeah. And then, of course, in the Pacific Division, Anaheim will face the winner of the Edmonton at San Jose series. Edmonton is up 3-2. This has been a very interesting series. Two overtime games, 1-1 by San Jose, another one by Edmonton, but also featuring three shutouts, two for Edmonton and one for San Jose, and San Jose is being a 7-0 shutout.
Well, that Leon Draisaitl spear in Game 4 when they were down 5-0, a lot of people thought that might have been a suspendable offense just because of the
spearing
intent.
Should be suspendable.
Indeed. But you notice he wasn't suspended and he was integral in two of the goals. But the thing that changed that whole San Jose-Edmonton game around, and you don't see some of the – you see Ovechkin, you see some of the stars do it, but not all the stars. Connor McDavid went up in my book even more with a big open ice clean hit that got that place jazzed. They were down 3-1 at the time. They turned it around. They got the power play goal, and then they got the tie goal. And that sea of orange, that orange crush or whatever you want to call it in Edmonton, that place was jazzed. And that whole overtime, I think they outshot them 14-2 in the overtime. Dominated, and it was only a matter of time before the San Jose wall broke. And now they're up against the wall at the Shark Tank. I think if Edmonton would have lost that game 5, I don't think they go into Shark Tank in Game 6 and win.
All right. And then, of course, you have also tonight Game 6 at 8 p.m. between the Montreal Canadiens and the New York Rangers. I'm actually, for my friend Brendan, who is a Montreal Canadiens fan, I am actually rooting for the Canadiens to win the series in 7 games. And this is probably one of the better series to actually be going on right now because, you know, outside the 2-0 win that the Rangers had in Game 1, this has been a very close, contested series.
I think
it's been very good.
I think the road team has carried the play in all 5 games, even the games the home teams have won. I mean, look at the game Montreal won in overtime. I think it was Game 2. New York had no business losing that game. And we talked about that last week on the show where Nick Holden, instead of trying to slash Pukanich's stick out from him, just neutralize it, and they're up 2-0 going back to the Garden. I think Montreal goes into Madison Square and does force a Game 7. With Game 7s, anything's possible. I think I'd give the slight edge to the Rangers just because of the way they've been playing on the road this year. It wouldn't shock me if King Henrique stands on his head tonight and they finally figure it out at the Garden, because a couple years ago they were a very good team at the Garden. So it ebbs and flows. One year you're a great team at home. Next year you play better on the road. It's just a nuance of year by year. But I definitely think that has the every aspect of it going 7.
And then tomorrow is Game 6 between the Ottawa Senators and the Boston Bruins. They're playing at 3 p.m. Ottawa has a second chance to close out this series against the Boston Bruins, this time in Boston. This has also been a close series. We were talking earlier about, you know, the goalie interference that took place in overtime last night. I honestly thought Ottawa was going to win last night because I was keeping tabs on it because it was the only other game. And next thing you know, Boston's right back in it.
It was a tough game. I think the minutes caught up with Erik Karlsson last night. You could see him on the bench stretching. He played 42 minutes. He was drinking every fluid that wasn't nailed down on the bench. I think playing 42 minutes. Remember, he missed a good amount of time the second half of the season with a variety of injuries, and I think that caught up to him. I mean, you're playing 42 minutes out of an 90-minute game. He was at 40-minute mark just into the second overtime. So you're pretty much saying you have a defenseman who has been in and out of the lineup. Now, granted, the NHL players have the best stamina in the world, but you got to think that you're playing the minutes Erik Karlsson plays, the Norris Trophy minutes that he plays. I mean, without Erik Karlsson, that team has half a heartbeat.
Yeah, and not only that, but also think of the fact that, like, can you imagine games going in the triple, quadruple, five overtimes? Can you imagine the amount of minutes those guys play when you accumulate? Because now you're just, like, playing, like, two games in one night, three games in one night right off the bat. And the minutes these guys have to endure, you know, to try to secure a victory is just insane.
Well, it's also a delicate balance, Mike. You got to think also. I mean, you look at Chris Weidman. He had the knee-on-knee with Krejci early in the game, and I don't think he saw the ice in the first until the end of the first overtime. But as you go into a second overtime and potentially a third overtime, you need every fresh body on the ice at some point, even to spell for 30 seconds. But also, you don't want to get caught. I mean, you think about the one game, I think it was 2 years ago, the Caps had Curtis Glencross, which was a terrible move at the trade deadline. He was barely seeing the ice in the Rangers series, but you got to a second overtime, and all of a sudden Curtis Glencross got out there for one shift, and the puck was in the back of the net just because you had to try to find a way to spell your big players, and you have a fresh body on the bench and a face-off in the offensive side of the ice. I mean, it's a delicate balance. Sometimes you look like a champ. Sometimes you look like a goat.
And speaking of that, let's go back to talking about Tom Wilson a bit, because he's actually been a great story. You know, we don't need to talk about Pittsburgh. You know, forget Pittsburgh. But yeah, we already talked about them last night.
It's all about Toronto right now.
Yep, it's all about Toronto right now. But, Tom Wilson has been really a hero this series. I mean, outside the four penalties that he took last night, which was not good, he has three goals. If I read a statistic right, he actually scored. He has the same amount of goals as the Chicago Blackhawks did in the entire first round.
That one just blows. Just the Nashville-Chicago series just blows my mind how great. And we talked about it last week about how Pecorine stealing game one of that series completely set that series on its head. And then for them to piggyback on that and win 5-0 or 5-1, say 5-0 in the second. Yeah, 5-0 in the second game was incredible. How Nashville's speed and just relentlessness just constantly was all over a very veteran game and a team that everyone and their mother thought was going to be in the Stanley Cup Final on the west side of the bracket.
I was hoping Blackhawks. For a Chicago Caps Finals because I wanted to challenge CM Punk to a tattoo challenge. Well, but,
it was a rate. I mean, plus that would have been a ratings monster with those two teams, the way they've played in the regular season, the way they played in Winter Classic. I mean, everything's a nice, exciting, high scoring. I mean, even if they're low, the few times they played a low scoring game, the games are incredibly exciting. But getting back to your point, Tom Wilson, because we talked about Nashville, Chicago. Yeah,
he got the game winner goal in the first overtime. Mm-hmm. He had two goals in game four.
Right.
He's one of the. I mean, somebody mentioned this on the Facebook live feed. You know, he's one of our top penalty killers now, so he's valuable on the penalty kill. He's blocking shots. Oshie was blocking some crucial shots at the end of game four as well.
Remember,
which is great. You know, so Tom Wilson's game in this series alone has grown tenfold.
Remember, Tom Wilson's only 23 years old still. He was, I think, would have benefited from one more year down in London in the OHL.
Oh, he should have definitely been in London. Exactly. He should have never played under Adam Oates at all.
Right.
And when Trotz first came to this team almost 3 years ago now, that's when Tom Wilson's rookie season should have been.
Exactly. Well, I mean, also, you got to remember, he's a first-round pick that the Philadelphia Flyers wanted bad, and the Capitals swooped in and grabbed him.
I remember what happened.
16th overall pick and everything, and there's another pick, five picks sooner that they picked that shall remain nameless. He's down in Nashville. You can put the 2+2 together.
Actually, funny fact, it's not a well-kept secret that my father's a Flyers fan.
Yep.
When the Capitals drafted Tom Wilson, we used to have this coffee table in our living room. And my dad slammed his fist down on the table because that's how bad the Flyers fans wanted Tom Wilson. You know,
so that's
just to give you a perspective, I live with a Flyers fan, and he almost broke the coffee table. We got rid of the coffee table much later after that. So he almost broke the coffee table because the Capitals drafted a player the Flyers wanted, and that was Tom Wilson.
So your dad probably did something like this with a big fist. So Marcin Gortat actually got his Polish hammer thing from your dad.
Yeah, we'll go with that.
Okay, good. Yeah. By the way, non-hockey, go Wizards today. Hopefully they can keep up their stretch with the Atlanta Hawks today. But I always like to support the local teams, no matter the sport. But also with the Wilson thing I would not be shocked at if, with everything that irons out in the offseason, that he isn't playing with Kuznetsov next year on the second line. And to piggyback on the Jason Patton comment with question with Galiev, and also with my contention with Bork, is the waiver thing. I think Vrana and Stevenson, some of those guys don't have to pass through waivers unless it's the emergency basis.
Bork does have to go
through
waivers.
Yeah, and so is Galiev. Yeah. So I'm especially Galiev with his talent. A Phoenix, an Arizona Coyotes could use him immediately playing with a Domi or a Keller or something of that ilk.
We'll talk about Arizona during the offseason because they don't need more young guys. They need more veteran guys.
Indeed.
Honestly. But, Bernie.
Playoff time. Game 6.
Prediction for tomorrow. We're not going to worry about the games of today. We're just going to focus on Caps, Toronto, Game 6 tomorrow, 7 p.m. in Toronto. We know who George is picking. George says 3-2 Caps in overtime. What are you saying?
Well, we actually did predict the Saturday games in our segment, which was pretty stealth of us. But there will be a Game 7 played stemming from one of the Sunday games. Boston will beat Ottawa and force a Game 7. Haha, teaser. Capitals will come out and play their best 60-minute game. Keywords, 60-minute game. They will come out and take what they did in Games 3 and 4 and take the crowd out. But unlike some the later parts of Games 3 and 4, keep the throat choked down. The defensive effort, I thought, was the best D effort of the playoffs in Game 5. I think the session that Braden Holtby had with Mitch Korn between Games 4 and 5 with his refocusing on and deflections and block shots and stuff like that, I think he is locked into this series now. I believe you're finally going to see a game not decided by one goal. And this isn't rose-colored glasses or not. I think that the Caps go up 2-0 in Game 6, these young guys are going to finally realize what pressure is all about. And I think it's going to be Capitals 5, Toronto 1. And I think Alex Ovechkin has a goal. And I think the second line, stemming off of what they did at the end of Game 5, builds on that and has a breakout game, especially the Russian wizard Evgeny Kuznetsov.
All right. Well, since we only have like a minute left, I'm just going to say I think the Caps win. And that's my prediction for tomorrow. Because I got to go for everything else real quick. Social media for the show. You can follow the show on Twitter at Experience Hockey. No E at the beginning of Experience. Also, you can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Experience Hockey Talk. And, of course, also the last Game 2 and Game 5, I was actually at the Tilt-A-Kilt in Frederick, Maryland. I would like to thank Paul, Caitlin, Hannah, and everyone else at the Tilt-A-Kilt for hosting me there and allowing us to do live content for us at the Tilt-A-Kilt in Frederick, Maryland. Also, you can vote for Hannah, who is actually in the running to be in the 2018 Kilt Girl Calendar. You can vote for her at kiltgirlcalendar.com. And as always, we'd like to thank WBGR Sports Network for having us here on their awesome network. And until next week, hopefully we'll have a Cavs-Penguin series. Fingers crossed. We'll see you on the ice.
Attention, hockey fans. You want serious hockey talk? Then listen to the Experience Hockey Talk on the WBGR Sports Network. Join hosts Michael Lindebaum and Bernie Diehl as they review the past week for the Washington Capitals, NHL, and NWHL. You can listen to the Experience Hockey Talk at 11 a.m. every Saturday at the WBGRSports.com and on the WBGR Sports Network Facebook page. For more information, visit Facebook.com/ExperienceHockeyTalk.